we're going to have to rebuild within this wild, wild west of information flow some sort of curating function.
It's time for the Access of Easy podcast, the weekly technology digest that keeps you ahead of the curve.
We've got to maybe do something with the internet.
Brought to you by EasyDNS.com.
Somebody will say, oh, freedom of speech, freedom of speech. These are foolish people.
New Chrome Zero Day is out in the wild, so upgrade now. GitHub suspends multiple YouTube DL repositories after RIA DMCA notice. The DOJ files a long-awaited antitrust suit against Google. And PayPal to support Bitcoin in 2021. Hey everybody, Mark Jeftovic here with another edition of the Access of Easy Weekly Digest. This is issue number 169, or episode 169. We're recording this on October 26th, 2020. The show notes for this week's edition will be on accessofeasy.com/169. And last week's quote was, minimal exposure to the media should be a guiding principle for someone involved in decision-making under uncertainty. That was Nassim Taleb, and nobody got it. This week's quote is, birds born in a cage think flying is an illness. You know the rules. No searching it up online. First person to post the correct source of the quote to the show notes page gets their next web hosting or domain renewal on us. So if you didn't pause the podcast during the intro rundown and go check your Chrome to make sure it's up to date, do it now. We haven't had a drop what you're doing alert in some time, but this is the week. What you have to do is check your Chrome browser by clicking on the Chrome pull-down, then select About Google Chrome. The version that you should have is 86.0.4240.111. If that's not it, then it should automatically start the update, and you may have to restart your Chrome browser. So this is to mitigate several high-level security issues found in Chrome under CVE-2020-15999 has to do with memory corruption and a heap buffer overflow that are now being actively exploited in the wild. It also affects any other software packages using FreeType, which is a popular font rendering open source package. For that, you've got to make sure that any software you have using FreeType is using 2.10.4. So these flaws can be exploited to execute arbitrary code on the victim's machine. So I'll say it one last time. Make sure you're up to date, and if you're not, upgrade now. Okay, this one's just completely beyond the pale and over the edge. Ransomware could target coffee machines. So with the Internet of Things increasingly connecting everything to the global network, it opens up security risks via the most innocuous vectors, and some of those could have outsized impacts or just be completely indefensibly incivil. So Martin Dron, a security researcher with Avast, recently blogged about a proof of concept firmware attack he successfully carried out against his coffee maker. Ron details how he owned his coffee maker to settle a debate that he was challenged with. It was a myth, as he called it, that claimed that hacking an IoT device required hacking the router or network that the device is on. He disproved this by attacking and compromising the firmware of his coffee machine by hijacking the over-the-air firmware update. Then he reinserted his own modified firmware to the device, and from there he had complete control and he could make the device do anything he wanted that was within its technical or physical capabilities. The ramifications are that anything that uses OTA firmware updates could be compromised in this kind of manner. I mean, it depends on whether the devices themselves have any kind of security protocol built into this, but a lot of IoT devices have pretty lax security in the first place. GitHub suspends multiple YouTube DL repositories after an RIAA DMCA notice. So GitHub suspended access to numerous code repositories for the YouTube downloader after it received an RIAA takedown notice advising them that the code was being used to violate copyright. YouTube DL and its myriad forks are programs and libraries used by YouTube downloaders, which are software that you can use to download videos from YouTube and store a copy locally. I make frequent use of one of these. Whenever I see a video that I think is in danger of being deplatformed, I grab a copy of it and then I can use it to post to Access of Easy or some other alternative platform. GitHub has posted the DMCA request, and it has me wondering if they would have complied with the request before the Microsoft acquisition. But as could be expected, the internet has responded by spreading lists of alternative YouTube DL repositories and mirrors all over the place. Police can hack into your phone, most likely. According to a report in the New York Times, at least 2,000 police forces across the USA have tools and technical know-how to break into encrypted smartphones, and they're utilizing these capabilities more often than previously suspected. So the Times is citing a report by Upturn, a Washington, D.C. nonprofit that monitors how police use technology. They found that 49 of 50 of the largest police departments in the country had such tools, and the ones that don't, smaller or rural departments, they routinely farm out the work to crack into phones to larger departments that do. These types of tools have been known for some time. We mention them often in these pages. Not specifically mentioned in the report is NSO Group. We talk about them a lot here. They have tools and services that they sell to governments and police forces worldwide to crack into phones. So while police are decrying device makers' efforts to make their phones harder to crack, phones still remain a treasure trove of data for law enforcement who seem, at the moment, unimpeded in their ability to access it. And I got that story via Steve P. Steve P. or Steve R. Thanks for sending that one in. DOJ files antitrust against Google. So the long-anticipated news finally hit last week that the U.S. Department of Justice is filing an antitrust case against Google, and as many as 37 states are expected to follow suit. It alleges that Google abused its dominant position in search to maintain a monopoly and stifle competition. This could be damaging to more than just Google, because one of the accusations is that its deals with mobile device manufacturers like Apple to make Google the default search engine in Safari is also anti-competitive. As a result of these various practices, Google is able to maintain search dominance, currently estimated to capture 80% of the total search volume in America. And this is the first major antitrust action launched against a tech giant since the United States versus Microsoft almost 20 years ago. PayPal to support Bitcoin in 2021. That's the big news in crypto land this week, was their announcement by PayPal that in 2021, they will be adding support for Bitcoin, enabling users to buy, sell, or pay any transaction using BTC. Recently, Square and MicroStrategies, both publicly traded companies with market caps of $74 billion and $1.75 billion respectively, announced that they were putting some of their cash reserves into holding Bitcoin. Square allocated 1% of its assets with a $50 million purchase of Bitcoin, while the comparatively smaller MicroStrategies made a much bigger bet, putting $250 million of their cash into Bitcoin. So just kind of shows you that Bitcoin is becoming more mainstream. And I think the price was, last I checked, it was around 16,000 Canadian, which is getting up there again. Report: governments use COVID to crack down on online dissent. Last week, another Washington, D.C.-based watchdog group called Freedom House, they monitor government powers, released a report finding that, quote, governments around the world are using the pandemic as a justification to expand surveillance and crack down on dissent online, resulting in a 10th consecutive annual decline in internet freedom. Authorities in dozens of countries have cited the COVID-19 outbreak to justify expanded surveillance powers and the deployment of new technologies that were once seen as too intrusive, end quote. The group's president, Michael Abramowitz, added the pandemic is accelerating society's reliance on digital technologies at a time when the internet is becoming less and less free. Without adequate safeguards for privacy and the rule of law, these technologies can be easily repurposed for political repression, end quote. Freedom House uses a 100-point scale to rate internet freedom and found that across 65 countries, the score has dropped for the 10th year running. On that 100-point scale, with 100 being the most free, 0 being the least free, some choice countries are as follows. Canada, 98. Australia, 97, although we'll see if that holds up given the restrictions lately. UK, 94. Germany, 94. USA, 86, which is down from 94. Russia, 20. China, 10. Speaking of China, let's look at Facebook's China-based hate speech censors. It's not just governments that are cracking down on discourse online. It's also big tech platforms. The New York Post took a look at Facebook's anti-hate speech unit, which is staffed with personnel based largely out of China. Yeah, the country that rated at the very bottom of the Freedom House Internet Freedom Report above is the same country that supplies social media censors to Facebook. The unit is called the Hate Speech Engineering Group, and it's based mostly in Seattle with Chinese nationals who are sponsored by the company under H-1B visas. Quote, many have PhDs and their work is extremely complex, involving machine learning, teaching computers how to learn and act without being explicitly programmed. When it comes to censorship on social media, that means teaching the Facebook code so certain content ends up at the top of your newsfeed, a feat that earns the firm software wizards discretionary bonuses. It also means making sure other content shows up dead last, end quote. New York Post, of course, no stranger to this. They're on the receiving end of that being dead last bit by having their expose on Hunter Biden's laptop deep-sixed by Facebook and Twitter, leading to that suppression effort becoming an even bigger story than the original event. Senate panel subpoenas Zuckerberg and Jack Dorsey after the decline invitation. So remember last week we were reporting on how Facebook and Twitter had unsuccessfully attempted to suppress that Hunter Biden laptop story. A Senate panel invited the heads of Facebook, Twitter, and Google to appear before them and answer some questions about the apparent bias and selectivity in what platforms will suppress versus what they will amplify. Remember also how Google was delisting the Great Barrington Declaration that was put out by those medical doctors to protest the lockdowns, and then after kind of a public backlash, they quietly re-indexed it. Anyway, the public backlash had Facebook and Twitter back away from suppressing the Hunter Biden story, and the Senate committee wanted to talk to them about that. All three declined their invitation, so now it looks like they're going to get subpoenaed instead. The Senate Judiciary Committee voted Thursday to authorize subpoenas to compel their testimony around this incident. So it isn't going away. Update on the EasyDNS Fold at Home team. We haven't checked in on this in a while, and I was pleasantly surprised when I did. So remember, the Fold at Home project is a global Hive computing project to carry out molecular folding calculations in the hunt for a COVID-19 vaccine. Last time we reported on this, we were at a pretty impressive 1,338th place out of over 255,000 teams. We are now in 307th place. So Team EasyDNS is in the top 500 with a serious shot at cracking the top 100. EasyDNS and Access of Easy Readers have pooled their resources for the cause. We now have 58 active CPUs contributing over 46,000 work units. Our top contributors putting in over 1 million credits each are Brewjack, Jonathan Juzik, GDF, Tim F, JB Martin 6, Henry Alapajari, Bill Pye, Zero Derivative, Actizen John, Blitherman, DL/LD, OPN, Mike 905, and Phyllis Allardis. Thanks to you all, and thanks to everybody working on this effort on Team Easy DNS and on all the teams on Fold at Home. This is a great use of spare CPU power. If you want to join, go to the Fold at Home website, which is in the show notes, and then join Team Easy DNS, which is Team ID 248458. So last week on the Axis of Easy, Jesse Hirsch weighed in with a look at that antitrust case against Google, and Charles Hugh Smith looked at the false narratives we buy into with everything is staged, while noting that everything we assume is permanent is fragile. For my part, I felt compelled to dispel a couple of Canadian-themed conspiracy theories around the COVID pandemic that people kept sending me, so I put that up on Out of the Cave. On our salon, we wondered if the network state will be capable of acting in the public good. And there are other ways you can plug into the Axis of Easy. When things like the Chrome zero-day hit, we put out alerts in real time. So to stay on top of these things, you can follow us on Mastodon. You can follow us on Twitter. That's at Axis of Easy there. Or at EasyDNS if you're not already following us there. We also have a Telegram and we have a Reddit, which is just our Axis of Easy. So again, links to all of those in the show notes. The show notes are at accessofeasy.com/169. And as usual, stay healthy, stay safe, stay sane. We're in the rundown to the election, so everybody take a deep breath, calm down. Remember, you have more in common than you don't, and try to keep that in mind when the election hits. Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you next week. Bangladesh, rhymes with your fresh. They just got home.